Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
We're looking back at the Chicago Bears draft. Ben Johnson's first one as head coach. Ryan Poles, fourth one as general manager. We just wrapped up on the other half. We talked about Colson Loveland. We talked about number 39, Luther Burden III. My final part about the number 39 pick is that actually does finally complete that Carolina Panthers trade. I shudder to think, you know what? I don't even shudder because Ryan Poles wouldn't have a job. Ryan Poles would not have a job if it was not for that trade. And look, I am critical of him. And I'm a big what have you done for me lately when it comes to Ryan Poles. I root for him, but again, the results have just been mixed. And honestly, they've been frankly mediocre. But the one thing that has not been mediocre is Ryan Poles absolutely slam dunked that trade. It was a great move. Luther Burden is the last piece of that trade that saw the Chicago Bears get Darnell Wright, DJ Moore, Caleb Williams, Luther Burden, Tyreek Stevenson. It's a good value for one pick. And honestly, if I had to do it again, knowing even what those players are and asking, do I want CJ Stroud? I still make that trade. So good job by Ryan Poles. Chicago Bears also had their own pick in the second round at number 41. And then they traded it. Chicago Bears, in a move that I thought was pretty interesting, moved from 41 all the way back to number 56, still in the second round of the NFL draft. And in exchange, they also were able to move up from their third round pick at 73 all the way back up to 62. I could say it's lower, but it's radio. You just got to trust me. So they moved to 56 and 62. What's interesting about that trade too as well, and some of the other trades that they made, is that the Chicago Bears actually were able to acquire a fourth round pick heading into next year. And I thought that was a smart move. Because what did we learn? What's the first thing that we learned last year about fourth round picks? Those things are more valuable than just taking some guy. That fourth round pick was able to allow the Chicago Bears to acquire Keenan Allen. And you can say what you want about Keenan Allen, but he was a contributor last year. And some of the better moments, plays, throws that you saw from Caleb Williams, the recipient of those throws was Keenan Allen on quite numerous times of occasion. So that fourth round pick next year, I think that was a good move by the Chicago Bears. Clearly, they felt like at 41, they can move back and still get the player that they want. Again, Minnesota left tackle, Ariante Ursary. A lot of people think that he's a right tackle, was still on the board. The Chicago Bears decided not to take that. The other one was the running back, too, as well. Caleb Johnson, the Iowa running back, who just had amazing production this year, kind of looked a little bit like a DeMarco Murray. Definitely would have been a guy that if we had drafted him, we would have given him a crack at getting 15 touches a game. And that third and two situation, those third and three, those shorts to get those first downs, I think you're giving Caleb Johnson the ball. Passed on him. And the only other sliding doors before we get to who they picked there is that after the draft, there were some reports about what the possible parameters of a trade would have been if the Chicago Bears moved up from 10 all the way up to 5 at the time with the Jacksonville Jaguars to take Ashton Jeanty, a player that I wouldn't have been upset if the Chicago Bears took and a lot of Bears fans were really rooting for. Got a little screwed up. Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars ended up swapping, meaning the Jacksonville Jaguars moved up to number 2 to take Travis Hunter. So honestly, we were second, third, maybe fourth in the line of interest in terms of Jacksonville when it comes to making that trade. But even if it was with Cleveland, the word was it was going to cost the Chicago Bears a first-round pick next year and maybe some sort of third or fourth compensation. Or it would have been both their twos up from this year, 39 and 41, to move up for Ashton Jeanty. So, I mean, ask yourself the question – And this is rhetorical or comment if you're watching on YouTube here. What would you rather have done? If you were the Chicago Bears, would you rather have moved up to 5 to take Ashton Jeanty and traded 39 and 41? Or would you rather have Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, 56 and 62? And at number 56, you take 6'8" offensive tackle, Ozzie Trapillo. I've heard some say Trapillo. But look, that's a little Marigans. That's what my wife would say. I'm going with Trapillo on this one. Dude is 6'8". He is absolutely huge. The question is, he's a little bit of a project. He came from a little bit of a smaller school. Some people think that he's possibly a future guard. And all I have to say is good luck with that. I'm not being mean. I'm just being factual. Our quarterback is 6 feet tall. I'm 6'1". I'm pretty sure I'm taller than our quarterback here in Chicago. It's not an ideal size for a quarterback. It hasn't been a problem for him yet so far. I mean, guys have been able to bat some passes down, but having a guard that's 6'8" right in front of his face, at some point it's just physics. So I question that just a little bit. Can he play left tackle? Are the Chicago Bears now thinking of moving Darnell Wright to left tackle so Ozzie Trapillo can play right tackle? These are questions worth contemplating over the summer. But if we're being honest with ourselves, you would like to think at 56, Ozzie redshirts for a year, barring injury, doesn't get an opportunity to play. Maybe he's the right guard if something happens to Jonah Jackson. And this is a depth piece. Again, I don't mind it, but moving back to 41 for a guy that you don't think is going to be a surefire starter, or at least has a surefire position for you somewhere in this mix, it has me scratching my head. And look, maybe it is my own hubris because I didn't really have Ozzie Trapillo like on my board. I was looking at a lot of offensive linemen because I still think we need help there. The more the merrier. Too many offensive good linemen is a great problem to have. But I think this pick surprised people a little bit. And it's hard to dump on the guy because we're not exactly sure what we're going to see. And at 6'8", you really worry about what's called bend. Some guys are simply just too tall. And if you get a guy that gets low enough with that low swim move, does Ozzie Trapillo have enough bend to get down there and take that dude out? It's a project. It's interesting. And again, it's a second round pick. I know it's 17 spots different, but I mean, when they took Tevin Jenkins some years ago, I think they took him somewhere in the 30s. He was able to play right away. And I don't know personally where Ozzie Trapillo is going to play right now. And the only reason why is I just don't think he can be our left tackle. And if he is our left tackle, I'm a little worried. Sure, maybe Joe Tooney at left guard can help coach him through, give him some pre-snap cheat codes. Colston Loveland, if you go to run 12 personnel, you're going to have help around there, maybe for a young kid. But moving back to 56, it just sort of feels like a value pick. And I just question, and I have skepticism with Ryan Poles, whether that value pick is actually going to be of value to the Chicago Bears next year. It goes the same with number 62, Shamar Turner. Defensive tackle out of Texas A&M. I will repeat, defensive tackle, not defensive end. So it just begs the question, who's rushing the quarterback, guys? I've heard it. I've read it. Dennis Allen believes that the quickest way to get to a quarterback to take him down is pressure through the middle. Makes sense. I'm on board with it. But actually taking the quarterback down, sacking the quarterback, that's a different story. And right now, opposite Montez Sweat, man, do I have some questions. I mean, they paid Dio Odingbo like he's supposed to be the answer. But we've seen this type of thing before where the Chicago Bears invest money in somebody because they believe the dude hasn't reached his top potential yet. And that could be very true for a guy like Dio, but him actually doing it, providing those results and making it happen is a totally another story. And again, maybe this is my Bears fan side of me where I've been calloused. I've been traumatized. Or when I hear that type of story, it just sounds like the same old Bears to me. Shamar Turner, it's an interesting pick. Also because not only, 2 years ago, Ryan Poles burned two picks in the 40s and early 50s on Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens. So don't tell me he's just adding on to a good thing here. I like Jervon Dexter. The dude was able to make some plays and flashes at times. Zach Pickens looks like his clock is probably running out. So Shamar Turner to me already seems like Ryan Poles admitting that Zach Pickens hasn't worked out. So now you have to go back into the well to draft the same thing over again to try and make it work. And this is where franchises get stuck in mediocrity and even sometimes below it. It's when you have to keep taking the same type of guys because you didn't get it right the first time. And if you're thinking to yourself, what exactly are you talking about, Joey? Think about it. We've taken three quarterbacks in the last 7 years. 8 years, excuse me. We took Mitch in 17. We took Justin, and then we took Caleb. Usually, good teams take one guy at a position, and then he stays there and has a career. And then you don't have to worry about it in the draft anymore. You can then address other areas of your team. I know it's crazy, but it happens. So the Shamar Turner thing, I get it. But again, I just wish that they maybe had tried to target a defensive end, or maybe had just stayed at 41 and took a dude that was available there. Or again, maybe you're paying for the sins of your past picks and maybe you could have taken one a little bit sooner, maybe even at 39. I think Shamar Turner could be a solid player. And yes, I get it. Also, adding Grady Jarrett to the mix is a good thing for the Chicago Bears. But just go around their defense just really, really, really quickly. Jaquan Brisker, health provided, can be out there. I think he's a solid player. I think he can be a really good player. The only problem with him is that when he is really good, he's playing in a style that his body does not like. When he's really good, he's putting his head in the mix and he's spearheading a lot of stuff. I mean, he's throwing his body around. He's making his impact felt in the field. The only problem with that, unfortunately, is the concussion issues. Can he continue to play that way? And if he can't, does it take away maybe the special skill, that special sauce that has him in the NFL in the first place? Well, we're going to have to wait and see. Can Jaquan Brisker play smarter? And is smarter better for him? We don't know. Kevin Byard, older player, but very solid. Not a bad player at all. You've got your cornerbacks. You got Jalen Johnson, who I think is a good player. I don't know if he's a great player. Tyrick Stevenson, a lot to prove. We've seen solid football from him. We've seen dumb, boneheaded play from him, too, as well, question mark. Kyler Gordon, I think good player, ascending player. Again, hasn't made a Pro Bowl yet. We don't know. Tremaine Edmonds, I'm not a big Tremaine Edmonds guy, but I do think that he is a solid player. I don't think that he's bad, but I do think that he's a bit overpaid. TJ Edwards, again, solid player, plays super hard. Love to watch him play. But maybe not a great player because just some physical traits and just the fact that he's a little bit more undersized. Along the line, Montez Sweat, good player. Grady Jarrett, good player. Jermon Dexter, inconsistent but can be a good player. Andrew Billings can be a good player in a rotation spot. Dio Odingbo, potential, right? And you got guys like Shamar Turner here. Notice I didn't mention any great on the defensive line or in the defense in general. So I just have some concerns there. Now, it opens up the window of should the Chicago Bears be the type of people that continue to maybe entertain trades for a guy like a Trey Hendrickson, the defensive end from the Cincinnati Bengals, who seems to every year get 16, 17 sacks? Yes, absolutely. But also, again, maybe in this three-year window, I think Chicago Bears fans maybe need to wrap their heads around that this defense might be bad. And if you roll it forward one more year in this three-year window process, the Chicago Bears have an opportunity. Let's see if they make it to market. But there are some major names hitting the market next year, like Micah Parsons, TJ Watt, Trey Hendrickson. So maybe this is a little bit of a process. And I have to remind myself, too, as well, with the first-year head coach. Because we've been battered around so badly that we almost want results immediately, and they might not happen right away with Ben Johnson, and especially not with this defense that they currently have constructed. Moving on, they kicked it down the road a little bit. They made a couple more trades. They had some opportunities. They had Cam Scadabo was taking a couple picks before them, so they traded down again. That was another running back that I liked a whole lot. And they took Ruben Hippolyte, the Maryland linebacker. I don't really know what to say. Again, covering the Big Ten last year, Maryland's defense was very, very bad. I think that he was solid. Sometimes you have to say to yourself, does this guy rack up tackles because other people simply aren't good at their job? Little bit of a stat stuffer, we'll never really know. I think at the end of the day, this guy looks like a special teamer. He's got really good speed. I don't know how he cracks this list necessarily. Is he the replacement to Jack Sanborn? I think it's a downgrade. So I didn't really understand that pick, other than perhaps maybe he can become a dynamite special teamer for them. Another piece moving forward. Then at pick number 169, they took Zah Frazier, cornerback. Interesting guy. This is the type of pick that I don't mind personally. He's long. He's lean. He's got really great traits. He's an interesting prospect. Wasn't the fastest dude in the world. When you look at some of the tape, he gets burned at times really badly, but he did have 6 interceptions last year. Those are coaching things. I definitely think that he can compete perhaps for, you know, cornerback 4 or 5 on this team, and maybe a center. Maybe he can give you a little bit of a different look. If you want to throw him out there against some bigger receivers, maybe in some red zone situations and see if he can be impactful or helpful. We're getting to the point in the draft now, people, where I get it every single year. We want to think that these guys can contribute. But if anything, what we're learning from the Ryan Poles drafts are that none of his guys really late in rounds really contribute at all outside of Braxton Jones. So these guys, you hope, just become rotation pieces, can make the team. Maybe add a little bit of depth that when injuries hit, you can put these guys in and they're not going to embarrass you. Moving on to 195. A lot of people are making out of Luke Newman, the guard out of Michigan State. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him to get all this kind of praise, to think that he'll actually be in the mix next year for the Chicago Bears. Director of player personnel for the Chicago Bears, Jeff King, did say that Luke Newman played a little bit at center. And that maybe is what they're looking at as some sort of backup emergency option. End of the day, guys, this is Doug Kramer territory, okay? I know that when you take a guy late in the round, you're like, oh, this is just adding to the depth. I disagree. These are kind of 50-50 crapshoots. I'm rooting for Luke Newman. Don't get me wrong. I hope he works hard. I hope he works hard at his craft and gets better and can maybe become a contributor for us. But as a Chicago Bears fan, I'm just kind of cautioning you to not get your hopes up too much when some of these guys come down the pipe. And just as I say that, at 233, the Chicago Bears finally take a running back. That's right. You've been listening to Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos here on WLSM 890 for almost a whole hour reviewing this draft, and they finally take a running back. And look, I'm going to talk very, very highly about this guy with a huge caveat. So let's get the good stuff out of the way. Kyle Manungai, the running back from Rutgers, taken by the Chicago Bears in the 7th round, pick number 233. I love this running back. I really do. Watching him last year was such a pleasure and a joy. And a kickoff last year. See, the problem with college football, and some people like it, I personally don't, and with the Big Ten, is there's a lot of non-conference games, and they schedule a lot of cupcakes early on in the season. So basically, by the time everyone plays conference for the Big Ten, everyone's either like 3-1 or 4-0. So when you're covering the game, when you're covering the games and you're talking about the sport and you're trying to do shows, the first month can be kind of tough because you're just unsure of what's real and what isn't. So the one thing that I really locked in on that first month of the Big Ten season last year is how awesome Kyle Manungai was, because let me tell you something. He was incredible. In the first couple of games, his non-conference games, he had 200 yards in one of them. He had 150 in the other. And I promise you, the dude barely played in the second half because he was so awesome in the first half. Rutgers got off to a huge lead. They didn't even need him in those situations. This is a guy who's got 6 games of 100-plus yards last year. He had 9 games of at least 80 yards. he was a huge portion of their offense. And to say that is he was really their only offense. I was not a big fan of their quarterback, Ethan Calliope-Manis. Rutgers definitely tries to play like Iowa football, where they really just want to keep it low scoring, run the football, and play defense. Unfortunately, they just didn't have the horses to even play that style, and neither did Iowa last year, to be frank with you. This guy can absolutely torch teams. He had an opportunity, in my opinion. I think his numbers actually could have been better last year. I think there was a point where Rutgers went on a 5-game losing streak. They started playing some conference rivals. He had good numbers, but they lost a couple games by 20-plus points. And let's be honest, when it's the third and fourth quarter, you're not really going to be giving the ball to your running back, even if he is your best player, Kyle Manungai. And I do feel like at some point, there was about a month where maybe he lost anywhere between 30 to 35 carries that he probably could have had if those games are a little bit more competitive. So he had 1,279 rushing yards last year. I think it could have been 1,500 if the team had actually stayed in some games. I like this guy a lot. He makes great cuts, hard line cuts. He hits the edge really hard. He falls down forward when he gets hit. He can be really deceptive behind the line of scrimmage. I think this dude is a mighty mouse, and that is the caveat. He's 5'8". He's a willing blocker. He tries really hard, but again, you just have to ask yourself the question, can he do it on a consistent basis? Runs up to some of those linebackers that are seriously just bigger, a little bit stronger. Is that going to be a problem? So I like everything about this pick. I do think that he can be a contributor. I do like that he can maybe have a role on this team. One of the best parts about him is that he had never fumbled in college. He had over 800 carries, never fumbled once. For any of you old school football fans out there, I think that's a stat worth keeping an eye on. But again, at his size, I don't think he could be the lead dog for the Chicago Bears moving forward. I would not pencil him in by any stretch of the imagination. I think he can be on the team. I would love to see him in the slip screen game, in the draw game. I'd love to see him out there on the field every once in a while, especially if you're going to run some 3 wide receivers and see what he can do. I just don't think that he's the answer to your problems. People are asking for a player comp on him. I liken him to Devontae Freeman on the Atlanta Falcons, who put together 2, 3, 4 years of 1,000-plus rushing yards. He's got the strength. They're the exact same height, almost the exact same weight. So if you're thinking, who is he like, I kind of likened him to Devontae Freeman, who had a couple really good years with the Atlanta Falcons not too long ago. But again, having said that, my biggest thing walking into this was figuring out the running back position. The NFL draft analyst said that they had 30 draftable grades on running backs in this draft, which is a crazy number, crazy depth. Chicago Bears got one of them. They got one of the last ones in the 7th round at 233. So they're still going to need to attack and address that position moving forward. If you want my pick on who I think it's going to be, I think the Chicago Bears, and I'm not alone in this, there's other people saying it, is that I think Nick Chubb to the Chicago Bears, I think that is a real deal thing. They should highly consider that. 1 year removed, 1 year plus removed from his ACL injury. He did have a foot fracture last year, but this is a guy who I think still has something to say about contributing something to the NFL before his career is over. And I'm saying, if you're saying to yourself, Joey, this is a stopgap, I'm saying this is a gap to stop some deficiencies on this offense, which is picking up those hard yards. I think Nick Chubb is just the right kind of attitude and right kind of player to take over that David Montgomery type style running back that the Detroit Lions had last year and Ben Johnson's offense. And I would take a look at it. We'll see what happens. They might hang around. Could be J.K. Dobbins, but Nick Chubb would probably be my pick to add to the room with Roschon Johnson, with DeAndre Swift, and with the newly drafted Kyle Manungai. That was my review of the Chicago Bears NFL draft. I got a C on it. Super mixed, not crazy happy, but again, I'm just a fan. I got to live with it either way, and now I got to figure out a way to root for these guys, even though I didn't even know I wanted them to be drafted. Look at me. What hard work. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. This was Joey Christopoulos. This is Sports Talk Chicago right here on WLS AM890. Happy Saturday, everyone. I appreciate the time. I appreciate the listen. Come on back next week, talking more Chicago sports, talking more Bears. Have a wonderful weekend. We will see you then.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.